We are starting a new series, and for the next, right now, 15 weeks, we're going to be looking at the names of Jesus in the New Testament and how they relate to the Old Testament. The first thing we're going to look at is Jesus is the Word, the true Word. And that's important for us as we start this because we refer to the Scriptures as the Word of God, right? And the Son is the Word. Words reveal the unspoken, silent part of us. Scripture says, who knows the mind of man except the spirit of man within him? We are not given the gift of omniscience. We can't read each other's mind. It is impossible. So when you say, I know what you're thinking, you're not God. You really don't. And you probably don't want to know. So we have these thoughts that are put into words. And with words, we explain our thoughts, which no one else would ever know. And sometimes we explain thoughts no one else should ever know. With words, we can create mental images. We can create images that are vibrant, alive, and beautiful. Or we can create images that are dark and lonely and frightening. That's what campfire stories are all about. We create those mental images. With words, we can build each other up. And with words, we can tear each other down. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. We can do both with our mouths. James, the half-brother of Jesus who wrote the book of James, has a lot to say about the tongue. It's set on fire from hell. That's how bad it is. With our words, we can lead people into a deeper understanding of God. Or, with our words, we can deceive people and turn them away from God. Our words reveal the kind of person we are. Whether that's a trustworthy person or a deceiver. Whether that is a wise person or a foolish person. Whether that's a person of understanding or self-centeredness. You see, because of the fall of man in the garden, our thoughts and words have been changed, and we have to now measure them and weigh them before we say them. Proverbs 12:5-6 says, the thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood. But the mouth of the upright delivers them. We have people on both sides of this. A lot of people use their tongues for evil, and we all do. But some are trying to use their tongues for good. But because of the fall of man in the garden, evil is bound up in our hearts. And out of our mouths comes words and sayings that we should not utter. King David, who wrote Psalm 41, experienced these kinds of things from those who pursued him. And notice what he says. I'll just read it to you. Psalm 41, 5-7. My enemies, notice the different ways he talks about speaking. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words. while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. Words, they reveal our hearts. They reveal who we are, or they hide who we are. So when we come to understanding Jesus as the Word, we're going to get a different picture. One that hopefully will transform not just the way that we speak, but the very reason that we speak. Stand with me, please. John chapter 1. I want to read verses 1 through 14. John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You can be seated. Let me just pray for us as we begin. Father, I thank you for your Word, the Son, the incarnate Word. And we acknowledge, Father, that we are frail people who often use words in ways that diminish your glory. Teach us about your Word today. Remove those thoughts and cares from our hearts and our minds that would distract us. Help us to pay attention to your Word so that we might see Christ and through Christ see you. And we thank you, Father, for your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. John is the only writer in the New Testament who ever refers to Jesus as the Word, and he does on multiple occasions. And the reason that he does so is to help us understand not just Word as a means of speech, but the one who gave us speech, the one who communicates to us. And Jesus is the communication and revelation of the Father. So we need to understand Jesus is called the Word, and with words we communicate, and Jesus is the communication and revelation of the Father. And so what does that look like? Well, unlike us, we use words. We are temporal. We're here for a little while, and we vanish away. I think it's a healthy practice for Christians to walk through cemeteries and be reminded of the brevity of life. Not one of those people are going to escape there. And that's where we're headed. We need to understand why we should use words correctly. But more importantly, we need to understand the Word. See, Jesus is eternal. He's eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. His incarnation was simply the revelation of God to man with flesh. And that's why John writes in verses 1 and 2 of John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." And beginning doesn't mean the beginning of time. The beginning means in eternity past, He was with God. And in eternity future, He will be with God, because He is God. Luther had this to say. Martin Luther wrote, "If Christ is not true and natural God, born of the Father in eternity, and creator of all creatures, we are doomed. We must have a Savior who is true God and Lord over sin, death, devil, and hell. If we permit the devil to topple this stronghold for us so that we disbelieve his divinity, then his suffering, death, and resurrection profit us nothing." So John starts with this explanation and exclamation that Jesus is eternal God. And notice how he says it in various ways. In the beginning. So eternity past, Jesus is the Word. He was with God. But that's not enough to describe who he is. So he's eternal. He was with God. And John wants us to know, not only is he eternal and with God, but he's very God, a very God. Verses 1 and 2 of John chapter 1 are a doctrinal statement on the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus existed eternally with the Father before anything was created. Therefore, the Word, Jesus, is uncreated. He's the uncreated one. Every religion that declares Jesus to be something other than eternal God is a false religion. Jesus is eternal God, second person of the Trinity, eternal, unchanging. He is the physical and visible representation of the Father, but he is not the Father. He's the Son. Jesus said this statement in John chapter 17, verse 5, "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Jesus had glory, and it was all that he ever needed. He was with the Father, and he was glorified with the Father before anything was ever created. Creation didn't happen so that Jesus would be glorified. He already was as he was with the Father. And notice also that Jesus is the Word through whom all things were created. This is an important reality, that Jesus didn't just create things of his own ability. Verse 3 of John 1, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." The Father created, God the Father created all things through the Word. It wasn't a standalone creation by the Son. God the Father, through the Son, created. Verse 10 of John 1, which we read, He was in the world, speaking of Jesus, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Leon Morris, in a new international commentary on the New Testament, said, creation was not the solitary act of either the Father or the Son. Both were at work, and for that matter, still are. The Father created, but he did it through the Word. John, he starts with these words, two words, in, or three words, let me count right, in the beginning, right? In the beginning. We read that somewhere else in Scripture, don't we? In Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. See, God could have created in any way that he chose. I don't know how many different ways there were that God could have created, but it's totally up to him. He could have created in any way that he chose. He decided it would be through the Word. Now, we need to understand that creation is much more than just the end result. What we see is creation, but understand, creation is more than just the end result. Before God created everything we see, he created something else. God broke the silence of eternity and created sound, which he used to create words. God didn't need words to communicate among the Trinity. I don't know, nor do I care, how they communicated, because God always existed. He can communicate with the Son and the Spirit any way that he decides. But he chose at that particular time to communicate the creation through the creation of words. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. And we could put a colon there, but he created the heavens and the earth. But he created. And he chose to do it through words. And he chose to do it through the Word. God's creative act was through the means of the Word. And the Word is not just the verbal, it is Christ who embodies the Word. We do find in Genesis 1 that God spoke through the Word. Notice the different times that Scripture records for us, and God said in the creation account, and God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. He spoke, and it was there. God the Father, through Jesus Christ, who is the Word, spoke words and spoke things into existence. This is the proclamation which resulted in bringing things into existence. By the power of his Word, he spoke things into existence. And then we find that in this same creation passage, God not only proclaimed things, but he made a declaration about things. God made a declaration through the Word. And God called the... Take a look there in Genesis 1. Notice what he did. Let's just look at verse 5. He created light. And he created it to separate the darkness from the light, and he called it day. Now, the sun and the moon had not yet been created. God created light, and he called the light day, And he called the darkness night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God spoke it, spoke light into existence, and then named it. He made a declaration. This is going to be light. Look at verse 8. Now he makes this expanse, and he separates the water from other waters, the water from the heaven, from the waters below. And verse 8, he called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. God declared, he proclaimed, hey, there's going to be this expanse. There's going to be water in heaven, going to be water in earth. That which is up in the sky, I'm going to call heaven. God has the right to declare things in any way that he wants to, and he chose to use the word to make this declaration. So he proclaims, I'm going to speak it out. Things are going to be made. I'm going to declare what they are. And then we find also Moses now, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, wrote Genesis. He tells us that God also thought some things. Moses wants us to understand that God wants to communicate to us his thoughts. And so Moses writes down for us, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the thoughts of God, and puts them into words. God saw. God looked out on his creation. He saw what he made. And when it comes to man and the animals, God saw them and blessed them. And then he said, be fruitful and multiply. So God makes these declarations, and then he gives his stamp of approval on what he's created with words. And he declares through his word his approval of what he's made. Now, this is all important to the Apostle John as he writes. Because John wants us to understand in John 1 that creation isn't simply the giving of life for life's sake in itself. It is the giving of life for the glory of God, so that we might know and love the one who created us. But man sinned. God put Adam in the garden back in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And then by chapter 3, man has rebelled against God. And we find it's interesting too that Adam heard the voice of God and he hid himself. John wants us to understand that in salvation, when God chose to send the Word to be incarnate with flesh, this Word through which he made everything, the Son of God, he does so that recreation would occur. Salvation is the beginning of the recreation of the person. And the purpose of that is so that our words, our life, our words, Scripture, King James talks about your conversation, the way you live, the way you speak, everything about you now as a believer should begin to reflect more and more and more the glory of God who created you. The purpose of salvation is the recreation of man so that his words reflect and honor the Father through Christ. See, Jesus Christ is the Word, and as such, he honors and glorifies the Father. So we have in flesh the Son, who is the Word incarnate, so that we can know how to live to the glory of God. When Jesus is on earth, he speaks, but he doesn't speak of his own will, his own purpose. He speaks to the glory of God the Father. John 12:49-50. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. So once again, like in creation, God the Father is creating through the Son, and now God the Father is speaking through the Son, the Word incarnate, the very things that He, the Father, wants to communicate to mankind. Let me start again in John 12:49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. So the Father has communicated to the Son what to speak to the people and how to present eternal life to the people. Those who have sinned against him and have betrayed him, God the Father so loves people that he sent the Son to communicate eternal life to people and to tell them the way to have eternal life. And that's vital. Because when Christ came and when Christ communicates, he communicates what has already been spoken in the Old Testament. And he communicates about himself. And this word, the scriptures that we have, that we can read freely in our own language, is the Word of God. See, the Word is shown to be alive when the Lord spoke to the prophets of the Old Testament. We need to understand that all of Scripture is about Christ. And if we can get back to the simplicity of Scripture and stop being so focused on when is Jesus coming back? What are the signs of the time? The disciples all wanted to know that. And Jesus said, just forget about it. Don't worry about it. Your job is to live for Christ. Point people to Jesus Christ. How often in the scriptures do we hear the phrase, the word of the Lord came to? It didn't say God came to and spoke. It says the word of the Lord came to. In this way, the word is shown to be alive. The Lord spoke to the prophets of the Old Testament period. Jesus Christ speaking to the prophets is alive. And he speaks the word. Just a couple verses. Isaiah 38:4. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. It's almost as if God wants us to see the word speaking. Jeremiah 1:4-5. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, isn't it interesting that he doesn't say, and God spoke to me? It says, the word of the Lord came to me and spoke. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. The word approaches man, even in the Old Testament. The word approaches man and reveals the Father to man through the prophets. In the New Testament, the word of God is also shown to be alive as the Lord works in the hearts and lives. The Word is Christ. The Word is alive. It's not the pages of a book. You cannot open them and watch them move. It's not that kind of alive. It's alive because it's about Jesus Christ who is alive. and he speaks through his word. And when we open the scriptures and we read the word, we don't get to read them with our bias. And we don't get to interpret them in a subjective way. When we open the scriptures and we read them, we should be hearing Jesus Christ speaking to us, speaking the words of the Father to us, the Spirit of God, enlivening those words so that they are applied to the heart and life. Hebrews chapter 12, or chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Notice what the writer of Hebrews communicates to us about the Word. And see Christ, if you will, in the Word. For the Word of God is living and active. And go back to John 1 now. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. Glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Can you hear Jesus speaking? You must be born again. Piercing to the dividing of soul and of spirit. Can you hear the Word of God saying to you through Jesus, honor your father and your mother. Love your neighbor. The joints and marrow and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Can you hear Jesus saying to you, be holy as I am holy? And no creature is hidden from His sight. Whose sight? The Word of God. No creature is hidden from His sight. But all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. The Word of God is alive, and it's alive because Jesus is alive and Jesus is the Word. Romans 10, 17, the Apostle Paul shows us that the Word is alive when he says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. How are you going to believe? You got to hear the Word. What's the Word? It's the Word of Christ. And the Word of Christ reveals the Father. Paul also said this in Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. What we do, we ought to do as a reminder that Jesus Christ, the Word of God, took on flesh and dwelt among us so that we could see His glory, glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, Christ, the Word is the self-expression of God to His creation. Remember, words reveal who we are. Words reveal our thoughts. And Christ, the Word, reveals the Father and His thoughts. The Scripture says this of God's creation in chapter of Psalm 19, 1-4. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, there are no words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And Paul says in Romans 1, everyone stands guilty because, can you hear God speaking through his Son in creation? You ought to. Because you're held accountable just by being alive in the creation of God. You're accountable. It's not, creation is not enough to save you. You've got to have the Word, which teaches us about the Word, who teaches us about the Father. Creation itself won't save you. Jesus Christ will. The eternal, powerful Word of God became flesh. And in so, he was intimately and personally connected with his creation. I've quoted this verse several times already, but John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've seen his glory. Glories of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. When Jesus Christ became flesh, he became flesh to speak the truth of the Father to fallen man. 1 John chapter 1, John communicates Christ to us this way in verses 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. There he goes using the word again to describe Christ. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it. And testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. When you read the scriptures, when you open the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. See Jesus. See Christ in it. Understand that this is a communication through the Word of the Father to us that we might know God and His will for our lives. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. However, since man failed and brought death upon his posterity, Adam in the garden, a man also must obey God's law perfectly in order to satisfy and provide grace and life for those who are under the penalty of sin. God's just demand for death because of sin had to be met. The Word becomes flesh. The one who created, through whom the Father created, becomes flesh. Dwells among us, lives for us, obeys the word of that he has spoken perfectly. So the speaker of the word becomes the word incarnate and lives for us and lives to the glory of God and dies on our behalf and as such pays the penalty for our sins. Notice what Paul said in Romans 5:17. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who have who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. One man's sin brings death. One man's righteousness brings life. Back to John chapter 1. Verses 16 and 17. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. If you want to really know the Father, you have to know the Son. And to know the Son is to believe in Him and to trust Him and to seek forgiveness for sins. And He will forgive and save. Only through faith in the living Word can one be made right with God. That means to be an accepted and true child of God, the Father. Children of the Father. John 1, 12 and 13 again. But to all who did receive Him, the Word, the living Word, Christ, to all who did receive Him, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There's only one way to have a right relationship with the Father, and that's through the Word, Christ. However, a refusal to believe and trust in the Word of God will result in eternal judgment by the living Word. Turn to Revelation chapter 19 with me. Revelation 19, verses 11 to 16. Again, John is writing the vision down as he's exiled on the island of Patmos. And again, John, remember, he's the only New Testament writer that refers to Jesus as the Word. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword. By the way, that's a picture of words coming out of his mouth. A sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When we think about Jesus, we have to understand He is the He's the one through whom the Father created. He's the one who is the Word and speaks. And in the Old Testament, the Word of God came to the prophet. The Word came and spoke. In the New Testament, the Word speaks incarnate. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that the Word is living and powerful. And John tells us in Revelation, any refusal to submit to the incarnate Word, Jesus Christ, will lead to judgment by the Word, the one who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. A submission to and faith in the Christ, the Word of God, will bring the blessing of eternal life, being joined to the family of God. And once again, let me read John 1, 12 and 13. But to all who did receive Him, who believe in his name. He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Have you trusted Christ? Are you a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, the living Word? If you haven't, today is the day of salvation. If you have trusted in Christ and you're a child of God, when you read the Word, don't just read it as an exercise to check off marks. Encounter Christ. It's His Word. He's communicating the Father to you. Grow to know and love Him more with each day that passes as you read the Word. Would you stand with me and we'll pray? Father, I thank you for your Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, who gave us a written Word that we might know the Father. Thank you for sending your Son, Lord. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for your Spirit that applies the Word directly to our hearts and minds. And as we continue through the weeks to look at the names of Christ, we acknowledge, Father, that we will fall far short. But we also acknowledge, Lord, that we are blessed for knowing you. So continue to do that mighty work in and through your Word as we leave here. May the Spirit of God continue to convict, to comfort, and to guide us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.